Welcome, everyone, to the Food, Farms, and Chefs radio show with restaurant industry author Kevin Wilson, highly acclaimed chef Gene Blum, and food photojournalist Amaris Pollock. Join them as they interview the biggest names in the restaurant industry, tell you about the latest food trends, and give you recipes and cooking tips too. So let's get the show started.
Welcome to our listeners around the world via the podcast, our listeners on our FM radio station in New York, and our two Philadelphia radio stations. It's Tuesday evening drive time for you. We have a fantastic episode today. We're going to start off by giving you information about a special partnership between Trogues Brewing and McGillin's Old Ale House. And then we will have our highly acclaimed chef, Gene Blum, giving you a great tutorial on how to make a certain alcohol. And we will end this great episode with a fantastic interview with owner Peter Disson of a fantastic restaurant called Pinefish. Amaris Pollock, introduce us to your fabulous guest.
Hey, everyone. I want to just say Happy Hanukkah, first off. And then secondly, I want to introduce all of you to Gabriella Gock, who is the manager of McGillin's Old Ale House, and also Matt Hassan, who is the sales manager of Trogues Independent Brewing. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, everyone.
That was in unison. So I'm bringing you guys on because you have a huge event that's coming up on December 8th at McGillin's. And I wanted to just bring you on, let you talk about Gabby, talk about McGillin's, and, you know, Matt, talk about Trogues and talk about what you guys are doing for the event.
Great. Thanks for having us on. Trogues and McGillin's have had a great partnership for many years, and we've actually, over the many years that we've worked together, have had Mad Elf holiday events at the bar, and this year we wanted to do it again and highlight some of our seasonal beers and partner with the Ronald McDonald House to help get some toy donations.
Now, what exactly, you know, are you looking for when people are going to come to this? This is December 8th, and what time does it start?
So it's at 6 p.m., and we will be tapping a bunch of beers, including Mad Elf, which is our very popular holiday ale, as well as Mad Elf Grand Cru, Blizzard of Hops, and we'll also have Sly Fox Brewing as well, supporting the event. They're another great local brewery, and they'll have their Christmas ale and a few other fan favorites of theirs.
You were talking about tapping Mad Elf and whatnot.
If your listeners aren't too familiar, Trogues is a family-run brewery out of Hershey, Pennsylvania, and we started in 97 by Chris and John Trogner, two brothers. But Mad Elf is one of our most popular beers. We started doing that in 2002. And for us at Trogues and a lot of our loyal fans, it's not the holidays until you crack into your first Mad Elf. So in order to help celebrate that, we're going to be at McGillin's tapping the first keg.
And I'm excited about that, too, because I had Mad Elf actually over the Thanksgiving celebration. My friend and I were drinking it. And, I mean, you can really taste the cherry and the honey in that. So, you know, if you're somebody who is new to beers, or if, you know, you want to, you know, try something different, you have a very good blend with that.
Yeah, it's a
Christmas
unique
in a
beer.
Bottle.
Yeah, it's Christmas in a bottle. Exactly. Now, Gabby, what other things can we look forward to at McGillin's on that night?
Pardon me?
What else can we look forward to at McGillin's? Like, what other...
We're going to have prizes and giveaways from Trogues Brewing, Sly Fox Brewing, and McGillin's Old Ale House. If you bring a new unwrapped toy for children under 5 or teenagers specifically, you'll be entered into, like, a raffle drawing. We'll also have, like Matt said, several Christmas beers and blends on tap that night. Our chef is cooking up something special, maybe a Mad Elf wing sauce.
Ooh.
And we're going to do Irish bangers and mash using O'Reilly Stout, which is a brew by Sly Fox.
That sounds wonderful.
And a visit by Santa Claus.
Oh, how fun. So is it a photo op too?
Good photo opportunity. Yes.
And so, you know, obviously this is a 21 and older kind of event, but, you know, everybody loves to take photos with Santa. So I'm sure that'll be fun. Do you guys, are you bringing, you know, things for us to wear so that we can, you know, sit in and look silly with Santa? Or is this, you know, let's be serious?
I think everyone should dress in their own, you know, holiday attire, their favorite holiday attire. We encourage people to dress, you know, festively. We have had a backdrop in the past, and, you know, Santa and a Christmas beer in your hand. I think it's pretty festive.
Of course. Now, Matt, because I know that you are going to tap something that's very, very special at McGillin's. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what is special about this keg that you were tapping?
Yeah, so I did mention Mad Elf, but also tapping that night will be the first keg of Mad Elf Grand Cru, the first keg that we're tapping in the city. And that is a different variation of Mad Elf. The main difference is we only use Balaton cherries in that recipe, which are more of a sour variety of cherry. Okay, so the flavor is a little bit more intensified in cherry and then a little bit more tart than your traditional Mad Elf is. And I would say overall a little bit more nuanced in its flavor. So it's definitely something unique, and I highly encourage people to try it out, since many have had regular Mad Elf, but they have not had the Grand Cru.
Now, the Grand Cru, what drew me, and I have not had that, you know, like you said, I actually haven't had that either. I think, doesn't it have, like, chocolate notes in it, too?
Yeah, both the Mad Elf and the Grand Cru do. That's because we do use in the recipe a portion of chocolate malt. Sort of gives it sort of a chocolate undertone.
Gotcha.
Which pairs well with that sweetness from the honey and cherries.
Now, I know that both McGillin's and Trogues have worked with different charities. Is this, you know, something we can look forward to during the holiday season with us, you know, donating to Ronald McDonald House? Or, you know, where else can we see a charitable, you know, place or donation or event at McGillin's and with Trogues?
Well, for Trogues specifically, I mean, every holiday season, we're trying to partner with different charities such as Ronald McDonald House. Now, other markets outside of Philadelphia might have their own events and partner with different local charities there. But we're always trying to support local causes and communities and kind of give back. And this is the perfect time to do it. Bring people together for the holiday season. If we can tie together our holiday beers with a good cause, we're going to try to do that. But for Philadelphia, this is the main event for us as far as a holiday event.
And Gabby, with the special menu items with the wing sauce and the I forget what the other one was, the sausage, I believe.
Yeah, Irish bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash, yes. Are they
Chef Gordon?
Are they going to be available through the holidays, or is that, you know, just for that night?
It's just special for that night.
Okay,
the night of the event.
So for our listeners out there, not only is this a special event where you're going to be able to give back, you can also have a one-time chance of trying out these delicious menu items at McGillin's that are with Trogues Beer and Sly Fox. So I'm excited to hear that. What else can we look forward to at McGillin's?
Well, I'd also like to mention the night of the event, a special blend that we do with Trogues. It's called Mad Dreams, and it's a blend of the Mad Elf and their Dreamweaver Wheat, which
nice.
Is always
yes.
a must-have.
I'll have to try that when I'm there. And
beer blending is pretty unique. Not many breweries are promoting actual blending of two different beers, but we've found over the years that these two beers work together, and customers have really loved them. So Mad Dreams, come check it out.
That is very exciting.
And also, I'll mention Sly Fox will also be doing a blend as well that night. It'll be a combination of their Sly Fox Christmas Ale and their O'Reilly Stout, and they're calling it O Christmas Tree.
That's cute. And I'm assuming that there's going to be giveaways from Sly Fox as well.
Correct.
Okay. Now, where can we...
Oh, sorry. I was going to say for the giveaways, I mean, we're going to have things like glassware and koozies, bottle openers for anyone coming that night. And then we'll have some larger raffle items for those who donate a toy or are drinking our beers, things like hats and hoodies and T-shirts. We'll be raffling off those type of things throughout the night.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You know what would be great is if we could have a karaoke night with with Matt Elf and
drink a few of those, and there's going to be some pretty good singing.
And Santa Claus.
and Santa Claus.
Karaoke kicks off at 9 p.m. So.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice.
If you make it, through 3 hours of drinking Mad Elf and Sly Fox Christmas Ale,
maybe we can sing karaoke Christmas.
If you're still standing.
Now, where can we find McGillin's online, Gabby?
Just McGillin's.com.
And on social media?
On Instagram at McGillin's Old Owl House, at Twitter at McGillin's. And on Facebook as well, McGillin's Old Owl House.
Okay. And what is up next for McGillin's as far as events outside of December 8th?
We do have an event with, we've partnered with Tito's as well. We'll do Ugly Sweater Karaoke on Wednesday, December, I think the date is the 16th. And maybe it's the 18th. I have to look at my calendar. I'm sorry. And there will be every $1 from every Tito's cocktail during the month of December will also be donated to the Ronald McDonald House.
Oh, that's perfect. And Matt, what else can we look forward to for Trogues?
For the rest of the season, we will be doing a lot of other events throughout the Philadelphia five-county region. I know we have an event at the Abbey upcoming, as well as Teresa's Cafe in Wayne. We have a beer dinner at the Horse in Sellersville. You actually can, if you're looking outside of Philadelphia area as well, on our website, trogues.com, we have an events page. And you can go on there, you can click on the state or region that you live in, and you can see what events are happening around you that you want to check out over the next month.
And that's perfect. And where can we find you at Trogues online, on social media?
All the handles should be at Trogues Beer.
All right. But first, we will all come over to McGillin's Old Ale House and visit you and visit Gabby and visit Sly Fox for the party on December 8th, starting at 6 p.m. And, bring a toy, everyone. It's going to benefit the Ronald McDonald House in Philadelphia. It's a great cause, great food, amazing beers, and a wonderful atmosphere. So, Gabby and Matt, thank you for joining us on Food, Farms, and Chefs.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having
us. Look forward to seeing you next week.
I know. I look forward to seeing you, too.
Yeah, can't wait to have a beer with you in person.
Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And just so our listeners know, we have a fabulous episode that we did live from McGillin's to talk about their great 160-year history. And you can go to your favorite podcast platform and look it up, but it's a fantastic episode. Let's go to break, and we'll be right back.
To become a sponsor of our show and have your business or event promoted on every single podcast platform, two Philadelphia radio stations on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. evening drive time, an FM station in New York, and to the millions of Facebook users worldwide with access to the Facebook mobile app. Send us an email to either foodfarmsandchefs@yahoo.com or diningonadime@yahoo.com.
And we're back. Chef Gene, take it away.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. So Christmas season brings many traditions. One of the more unique traditions in the Pennsylvania region is the making of specialty cocktails from different parts of Eastern Europe or such. Today, we're going to talk about one that is near and dear to my heart that my father taught me and his father taught him, and that drink is called Boilo. It's a B-O-I-L-O, Boilo, which is often referred to as the Champagne of the Pennsylvania coal region, or sometimes referred to as the coal miner's cure for everything. And the reason they call it that is Boilo is filled with citrus and honey and cinnamon, and it's about 150 proof. So it's an absolutely fabulous drink, but it is a Christmas tradition in specifically Schuylkill County, Pennsylvania, and the surrounding coal region of Pennsylvania. Boilo is a really unique drink. Kind of has its roots to the Lithuanian population. It's based on a honey-based drink called Krupnik or Krupnikas that is from Lithuania. It's a honey-based alcohol or honey-based warm toddy that would be drank. Originally, it was made with moonshine. Today, I make it with Everclear, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how you make this. You might make it with Everclear, so I use the 200 or the 198 proof. I don't use the 151 proof. I use the 198 proof. And the absolute cheapest whiskey you can get, which is a very unique thing because there's a company that makes that. It's out of New Jersey. Lard Beverage Company makes Four Queens. Four Queens is very inexpensive. It's 101 proof. But the most unique thing about this is the majority, and when I say majority, over 50% of the Four Queens produced in America is utilized in Schuylkill County from October till January to make Boilo. It is really still in business just for the production of Boilo. So a little bit about how you make Boilo. Every family feels that they make the best Boilo, so every family has a little bit of a different take on it. But basically, my family recipe, which has won some numerous awards, is a lot of honey. I start with 9 pounds of honey, to be exact, for my batch. A lot of oranges and a lot of lemons, a lot of cinnamon stick, some allspice, some whole cloves, and then some caraway seed and a couple other little things I put in it that I can't really talk about, a little bit of water, and I boil that down for hours, like an hour and a half, boil that down, get this really beautiful mixture. I then take that mixture and I strain everything out of it, and I have this really wonderful brown elixir. And then I add equal parts of extremely cheap whiskey and the grain alcohol. I blend it together. I boil or I blend it together. I bottle it. I label it. And that is my holiday giveaway to friends and family throughout the country. I give away 4 ounce bottles, 8 ounce bottles. I even give away one or two bigger bottles of it to friends and family throughout the country. The way you consume Boilo, and I love this. I looked this up on Wikipedia the other day, just looking at that, and they talked about it. But the way you consume Boilo is you drink it warm. So you can heat it up in a little teapot. You can heat it up in the microwave a few seconds. You don't want to boil it because you don't want to lose the alcohol, but you drink it warm. And when you consume it, you put it up to your nose. You get all that citrus and honey and cinnamon. Just clears your sinuses. You drink it. It goes down so smooth. You don't even know you're consuming alcohol. You want another. You might even want a third. And then you realize you can't walk. But that's another story.
I'm going to jump in there because you actually had given me some as a gift at some point in time. Because you and I exchange alcohol every so often. And When Gene says that it's potent, it is very potent. Although I have to say, I knew I was drinking alcohol, but like mostly because I knew what was in it, that it was alcohol. But it knocks you on your butt if you're not ready, like for it. It like if you drink too much of it, you will get knocked on your butt. And I'm somebody, you know, who can usually drink like one or two glasses of something before I start feeling it. This was potent like moonshine, but absolutely delicious, like with so much flavor. You know, it's definitely something where I just wanted to sip it, and enjoy every, you know, every portion of it on my palate.
Well, a little bit of indication about its potency. Looking through some of the history of boil oil and articles written about it and such, I found a couple different things people referred to, and one of them was, you know, you certainly need a designated driver when you're drinking boil oil. You'll never get a hangover, just a good deal of memory loss. I thought that was very, very true to boil oil. But one of my favorites happened to come from Wikipedia, where under the notes in Wikipedia, they listed that you attend Christmas Eve Mass prior to consuming. Christmas Day Mass is generally out of the question. Absolutely the truth. You won't have a hangover, but you'll probably still be slightly intoxicated. My favorite story of boil oil, my father would make this, and on Christmas Eve, he would take a teapot and a bottle or two of this and a couple shot glasses, and they would go house to house visiting friends. And I was a young kid. I didn't realize, you know, what was going on, but they would go house to house, and I never understood until I got older why my brothers would always have to go and pick up my mom and dad and bring them home and leave the car at one of the neighbors. But, you know, after two or three, it's all over with. But it's an absolutely fabulous, fabulous drink. So in Pennsylvania, in the Schuylkill County region of Pennsylvania, they are so into it that they have major competitions for boil oil making. One of them, the biggest, is called the Pfeifenberger Boil Oil Competition. It is, you know, families compete. They bring, you know, really their pride because everybody feels they make the best. Everybody has a little bit of a different, you know, variation of it. Some places make like a apple boil oil with the, you know, a caramel apple boil oil. Some will add some peach to it, anything like that. The purists, we don't like to go there. You know, we're very much into, you know, honey, cinnamon, you know, you can add a little bit of spices, but stay away from the rest of the fruits. Just go with the citrus that's there. One of the other great things I found on Wikipedia about this was, you know, the standard bar things, that you never garnish boil oil. There's no garnish. But I love the tradition of the coal mining region when they talked about your drinking glass and they said anything that will hold liquid. And that's so true with the coal mining people. You know, I have had it in coffee cups. I've had it in tin cups. I've had it in shot glasses. I've had it in rocks glasses. I've had boil a lot of different ways. And it really says so much to the people who made this and where it comes from in that region. It's just an absolute, you know, fabulous, heritage rich, warm thing, you know. It just warms your body, your soul, wipes out your memory, but warms your, you know, your mind as well, in that it's so rich. And it goes back to, you know, the Lithuanian, you know, countryside years ago with doing that. So as we get into this holiday season, and there's so many variations, I'm going to throw this out there. For people interested in making boil oil, I will share a variation of my family recipe, not everything, but a variation of my family recipe, by just emailing us at foodfarmsandchefs@yahoo.com. And I will respond to that and send you a recipe for making boil oil. It's really simple. It's fairly inexpensive. The honey is the most expensive thing you're going to buy, a few cinnamon sticks, some oranges, some lemons, and probably spices that you already have in your baking cabinet at home for that, but you will be left with an absolute fabulous memory. You know, I have friends now all over the country who come Christmas time, am I getting my boil oil? Are you sending me my boil oil? So for all those people out there, let them know it's all going out in the mail next week. Everything is getting shipped out. So I just actually finished making about 3 gallons of it. And we're going to be making another batch soon. Is that correct, Amaris?
Yes, that is. That is correct.
We're
going
to be making a batch.
Stay tuned for Gene and I making a batch for you online.
So we're going to do a little YouTube video and show some of the ways of that. And then, you know, depending on how much we consume, it might even get a little bit better beyond that. So
Now, before we finish up this segment, what would you recommend pairing food-wise for with a abuelo?
So, abuelo is fabulous. It's a great item with seven fish dinner.
Oh, okay.
It's an absolute fabulous toast with seven fish dinner. We did, in growing up, we did a variation of that. We did a Lithuanian dinner. So it was a meatless dinner with smelts and haddock. And it was done to signify some of the sacrifices you make. So there was no salt, pepper, butter used in the making of the dinner. It was boiled potatoes. It was cold sauerkraut. It was the Lithuanian dinner that they serve. It's called kuchi. That's a fabulous dinner to go with it. But also a beautiful, pork loin, a beautiful pork roast, because you have such great honey and cinnamon and those great strong flavors going on in there. And then when you add in the caraway and the allspice, so it's going to hold up to any meat that you put out there. It's going to hold up to a great spaghetti sauce. It's going to hold up to any strong flavors out there. So you can go from the seven fish to the Lithuanian cuchillas dinner, and you can, take it to anything you're doing on Christmas Eve for your family and friends.
Now, you might curse me for saying this because, I mean, it is definitely a time consuming. It sounds like it's time consuming to make it, but it's almost too delicious to try to, do anything with it other than drink it straight. I would say that abuelo tastes like something that I would love to cook with, like a banana bread or some, put it into an apple crisp to, punch it up a notch. Again, you might yell at me because I'd be wasting alcohol by, cooking it off, but it has such a delicious taste that I could see it, being a good accompaniment to a banana bread or the apple crisp, or, I know you said don't add peaches into making the abuelo, but even doing a something with peaches in that.
So a couple things that I've actually used it for before, I've done a variation of bananas foster with it. Certainly creates a great flame. And I watched many a teapot break and didn't need to get the fire extinguisher out on Christmas Eve. So it is very flammable. One of the running jokes with boilo, so everybody knows, is that when you go in and you're buying the four queens, obviously behind the liquor store counter, the guy knows what you're going to be making. Because why else are you buying four queens? And I'll always say, you're making boilo, be careful you don't blow yourself up. But, so bananas foster, use it like you would for a rum cake as well. Just simply take that and pour it over top of, a bundt cake or a different type of cake that you might be using to make a rum cake. Makes an absolutely fabulous dessert added in that way. It really is, anything, it makes a great accompaniment to certain sauces. Instead of a chicken Marcella, instead of using a little bit of Marcella wine, you could add in that caraway and that honey and that allspice and cloves to it and saute it a little bit with that. Works really well too. Though I'm going to suggest you just drink it straight and enjoy it that way.
Exactly. So
the other big thing about it is keep it for the summer. When you get a summertime cold, have a glass of that, drink it warm, get under the covers. The next day, you'll never know you were sick.
Nice.
All right. Thank you, Gene, for letting our listeners know about that. And they can look forward to us creating a abuelo together.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Chef. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Tune in to Dining on a Dime to hear from Gene Blum, our chef, educator, consultant, and historian. You can find him across social media at IBFoodie2 or Gene Blum at IBFoodie2@yahoo.com. And you can also tune in to listen to Amaris Pollock and find her across social media at ARPOLLOCKUS@gmail.com.
And we're back. Amaris Pollock, introduce us to your fabulous guest.
Hey, everyone. I want to introduce you to Peter Disson, who owns Pine Fish, which is in Washington Square in Philadelphia off of 12th and Pine. Peter, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
Fine. You know, recovering from Thanksgiving and getting ready for this coming week.
Exactly. And, you know, you have some exciting news over at Pinefish. But why don't you tell our listeners, you know, how did you get started in the culinary world?
Well, my family has been in the restaurant business since, I think, the late 40s. And my uncle had a famous restaurant in the late 40s, early 50s called Harvey House. And that was right, I guess, where the parking lot is today, or the club, sporting club. That's where the restaurant was. It was right next to the Bellevue Stratford. And then my dad learned the restaurant business from my uncle and opened a small restaurant in Camden, which is a county seat. And, you know, all the doctors, the lawyers, the judges were there. And just expanded that. And, you know, when I was a kid, I just loved going into the restaurant with all the stainless steel and all the equipment and the pumps for the soda syrup. So I love that. And so it was an exciting time, and I always wanted to be in the restaurant business.
Now, you took your love for the restaurant business and your history, your family's history, and you not only earned your marks by, you know, working as a busboy in your father's restaurant, but you also went over to France and studied, you know, in one of the most famous, like, schools that you could ever, you know, study in. So what was that experience for you?
Well, first of all, living in Paris is, you know, is the most amazing experience. And being with all people that were foodies and into cooking. So all the students, you know, we became friendly and we would cook every day. We would learn. And then we would go home and we would cook. And actually, Julia Child was there one day.
Oh, wow.
Big woman. And it was an amazing experience. And the way they did it was they basically did an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert every day. And then within that, you're learning your basic sauces and your basic techniques. So it was just a great, fabulous experience.
I mean, I'm sure it was, especially like with somebody as famous as Julia Child. Like, is it true though that did she actually cook with butter as much as she talked, that they talk about how much she used butter in her dishes?
Of course, I have to use butter.
No, I know that there has to be butter, but I mean, she's famous for having used a lot of butter in a lot of butter.
Yeah, there's tons of butter, but you know, you can, you know, just you can thicken your, you know, we do it at Pinefish. You know, we throw a chunk of butter in at the end to just thicken the sauce and to emulsify it a little bit. Even though there may be no other butter that's in the dish. So we use butter that way. I think in this day and age, you know, we don't use as much butter, but you know, we still use. I know the restaurant goes through, you know, 40 or 50 pounds a week.
Oh, wow. Now, you, back in 2016, you opened up Pinefish. What, you know, inspired you to open up Pinefish and, you know, in particular, like, open up a seafood-based restaurant?
Well, actually, when the Phillies were playing great baseball, I used to go with one of my buddies to the games, and afterwards we would go to Dimitri's, usually the one over around 23rd and Pine, Fittler Square. And that was just such a, you know, it was reasonably priced, it was great seafood, and it was fairly simple stuff. Sometimes, you know, less is more, especially the seafood. And then I saw the location, the 12th and Pine location, and I worked out a deal, and I really didn't know what to do. And I said, I'm gonna do my take on Dimitri's. And that's really what this is. That's what Pine Fish started as.
Yeah. Now, I know that, you know, I've been to Pine Fish before. I've actually been to your brunch in particular. And you have a fabulous brunch. I love that you have I think it's all you can eat, like pancakes, but then friends with Benedict's, which is such a cute like play off of Eggs Benedict. So
I got to tell you one thing. There are more people that stop and take a picture of that window where we have that painted on the window, friends with Benedict. I mean, every day, 10 or 15 people stop just to take a picture in front of it.
I mean,
just love this.
Yeah, it's a cute play on words.
Yes. Spectacular.
Now,
and then, you know, we specialize in all those Eggs Benedict, and a lot of them are seafood. So soft shells in season and scallops and lobster, I think, is one of the most popular. Crab cake Benedict, all those are different seafood style Benedict.
Yeah. Now, I feel like I don't see crab cake Benedict very often at any restaurant. So that, I think, is, you know, a distinguished menu item. I know that other places do have seafood with Eggs Benedict, but you definitely take it to a whole nother level with every item, you know, pretty much with your Eggs Benedict. You know, you can...
Well, at this point in what's happening in our world, you know, crab cake Benedict is, because of the price of crab meat, is through the roof. So it actually came down this week. It's I didn't look today. I just got my price list today, so I don't know if it came down again. But $52.
It's still extraordinarily high.
$52. I used to spend $20 for a jumbo lump, and now I'm $52. But the time before that, it was $55, and then before that, it was $65, and then I did see it for $76. So I mean, really, we have a regular crab cake on the menu. It's all jumbo lump. If I really price it the way I should price it, the way we price everything in the restaurant, it should be $100 for two crab cakes because the price of crab meat is so outrageous. But I can't do that. Nobody would buy it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So we just basically giving it away. You know what I mean? It's expensive, but we're not making any money on it.
Now,
crab meat at this point.
I love seafood, and I know, you know, Gene, you love seafood too. Gene's the one that you heard, who he's a chef as well, so he knows the pricing and you know, rules and regulations that you have to face as well. I love seafood, and you have a new item on your menu list that, I mean, is to die for. Why don't you tell our listeners about the ocean?
So the ocean is a huge bowl. The actual bowl probably weighs 5 pounds, just the ceramic part of it. But within that bowl, and it's for two, you can get it for one, but for two, you get 1.5 pounds of Dungeness crabs, 1.5 pounds of snow crabs, 1 pound of clams, 1 pound of mussels, and then you get 2 ears of corn, and that's around $65 a person. And then if you wanted to upgrade, you could get a leg of king crab meat, which is very expensive, but also very delicious. So, and then it comes with a garlic butter sauce, or you could get a Cajun butter. We can flavor it with crab seasoning also.
I mean, I would definitely get it with the garlic and butter, because you can't go wrong with garlic and butter. Unless if you're somebody who, you know, is afraid of you know, having bad breath. But I honestly, like, if you're going in and having and sharing this this huge bowl with somebody, which I would highly recommend, because that is a lot of food. You know, you're both going to be consuming that. So it's, you know, who cares? Have some garlic butter.
That's exactly right. So, you know, if you're eating garlic and butter, hopefully your significant other is also.
Exactly.
But you know what we do? We do put a little wine in there. So we kind of cut it a little bit so it's not so much butter, you know. So it's really a garlic wine butter sauce.
I mean, that's not bad either. That's almost like scampi. So,
and no, it's exactly.
Yeah, which is absolutely delicious. And if you are, if you love.
Pour it on you.
Yeah, exactly. Pour it, like I would just drink it.
Exactly.
That's how much I love scampi sauce. Now you and I talked about prior to you coming on, we had talked about how, you know, you take rigorous steps to make sure that everything that you do, you know, comes out like juicy. Like you do something that, I mean, it's becoming more of a trend in restaurants, but you know, it's still not quite there where everyone does it, which is you sous vide. You know, you lock in that freshness, you lock in the ingredients and, you know, and cook, you know, boil it in water and it comes out so juicy. I cannot wait to try your food.
Well, we do some sous vide and, we used to have steak on the menu, but we can't get the quality we wanted back at a reasonable price. So we would sous vide our steaks. We did octopus, and we've taken that off the menu. That's coming back, but that was sous vide overnight. And, you know, we actually sous vide our eggs, so for our Eggs Benedict. And you know, I got to tell you, I sous vide my turkey for Thanksgiving.
Did you?
So, you know, I sous vide the white meat. It comes out juicy as can be, and then I confit in duck fat my dark meat, and then that comes out luscious. So the sous vide is an amazing technique. And Jean-Marie Lacroix used to come in. His wife was very friendly with our manager. He was the former chef at Lacroix and at the hotel, the Four Seasons. And he told me a story. He said, Peter, sous vide was really developed because the apprentice chefs that were coming up in France couldn't cook, and they, you know, and they just, you know, they weren't ready yet. You know, you just don't get into this, and you're spectacular. You know, it's practice, practice, practice. And he said that, yeah, that's what happens. And, you know, he said they developed it so that there would be no variation in cooking. It really takes the chef out of the cook, you know, time. Sous vide, you know, cooking is about internal temperature a lot. And so if you are transferring the heat through a water bath or through a pan, you know, it's basically raising your internal temperature to get it to wherever you want to be, medium, medium rare, whatever. Great technique.
I've personally never done that. I'm sure, though, that Gene has.
It is a wonderful technique, and it is revolutionizing the catering world especially, but as well as restaurants. You know, being able to...
Gene, I got to tell you that the first time I was at the opening of the Philadelphia Orchestra 1 year, years ago, 6-7 years ago, and I think Garces was, you know, he had the contract there. And they had a striped bass with pesto and some kind of tomato concoct, if I can remember correctly. And the fish came out. It was so beautiful. It was perfectly cooked for 600 people. And there was a lady standing behind me with a clipboard, and I said, what did you do? How did you get this so perfect? I said, did you steam it? She said, no, we sous vide it. And we have 8 or 10 sous vide machines upstairs, and this was all done yesterday, and we just rewarm it. And that was really That's what opened my eyes to it, and I thought it was a spectacular technique.
It really has taken the, and I want to say the catering industry, because it's really where it's impacted the most, but restaurants as well, being able to, you know, prep a product and bring it to, you know, perfect serving the following day, just using a water bath. And, you know, it's really, while people get real confused about it and they're worried that, oh, it's so science-based, this or this, it's a really simple process once you get into it.
Yeah, and for two, I happen to look up, you know, we have professional immersion circulators. That's the machine that you use. But, you know, I was looking up, you know, what the circulators cost for the home, and they're $199. So, I mean, you know, it's amazing that you can cook for your family 2 days in advance. And when you get home, you just plop it into the water bath. And in 30 minutes, it's ready. You don't have to do anything.
I think, Peter, what we need to do is go into business selling sous vide products. And then people
exactly.
who have them home circulators, they can buy your fabulous food and bring it up to perfect temperature days later.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
That is a great idea. Oh, my God. You know, you see.
I'll send you my bill later.
Okay, you see the coffee. You see Starbucks does the sous vide eggs.
Yep.
Starbucks does?
Yeah, Starbucks has sous vide eggs.
Huh.
Sous vide egg sandwich? Sous vide something. It's definitely a sous vide egg. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Now,
plug to Starbucks, but.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I had it once. It was pretty good. I don't know what machine they use to reheat it or how it works, but, you know, I know that they have it.
Well, getting back to your restaurant, you do a whole fish.
We do branzino. It's, you know, it's all Mediterranean. It's a Mediterranean sea bass, basically. And, you know, I think they farm them because they're all around 480 grams, about a pound and a quarter, 500 grams, something like that. And, you know, fresh. And, you know, we've experimented with different sauces, you know, a lemon sauce. And right now I think we're doing chimichurri. And one of our most popular dishes with the bone in, the head and the tail. Because, you know, whatever you eat, if you're cooking it on the bone, it's always better. That goes for fish, for meat, for chicken, for anything. Always on the bone is better.
Not that you can see me, but I'm over here nodding my head yes. Because it infuses it with more flavor. It keeps it juicier. It's definitely, bone-in is always better.
Yeah. Now we have one dish on our, not even on the menu. It's a special, and it's a swordfish chop. It comes from, let's call it the neck of the swordfish, around the neck. And they leave one of the bones, one of the bigger bones in, and the dish actually looks like a huge pork chop with the bone in. I mean, it's fairly expensive. It's a lot of fish. And, well, I mean, they used to serve it at the Palm, and our chef worked at the Palm for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So we have a lot of Palm recipes we do and Palm techniques. And that's one of them. And that is special. I don't know anybody else who's serving in Philadelphia. Expensive, but I would say 90% of the people say the best piece of fish you ever eat.
I was going to say, but probably worth it.
Yeah. And swordfish sometimes is dry, but because it has the bone in, it's so thick that it's just succulent.
I'm sure it is. Now, you also have something on your menu that, I mean, it's minor comparatively, like, with all the seafood that you have, because I do love my seafood. But I am a huge fan of mac and cheese. So not only do you have just a plain mac and cheese, but you have the lobster mac and cheese, which, you know, just adds an extra oomph to something that's already delicious, makes it 10 times better.
Not only do we put the lobster meat in the cheesy sauce, but we put a lobster tail, 4 ounce lobster tail on top of it. So you get a whole lobster tail and the mac and cheese with the lobster in it.
That so good.
You've got to try that.
I definitely have to try that. I know both Gene and I were trying to make it. We were trying to figure out his schedule versus my schedule and make it over the weekend to try the ocean. But we weren't able to line up our schedules. And so I'm like, maybe I'll just go on my own and have a really big takeout bag, or like have you like put it in a sous vide bag for me, and then I'll go home and do a water bath.
Well, come down anytime you want. Just give me a ring, and you know, I'd love to take care of you and hang out a little bit and talk to you. So, you know, we had fun talking.
We did. And we can hang out anytime. Also, speaking of hanging out, one of the things that I found out is a very infamous mixologist from
Hopsing.
Yes, exactly. Hopsing Laundromat has started making cocktails for you.
Well, you know, in my history, previous to this restaurant, I actually started as a consultant at 500 Degrees for Rouge, for Rob Wasserman. And he wanted me to help him straighten out that unit. And I wound up spending there 4.5 years there. And so I read in the in one of the papers, Michael Klein, something like, I think it was his column, that Wasserman contracted Lee from Hopsing Laundromat and to develop some drinks. And I thought that was a spectacular idea. So I met him one day in the back of the liquor store and started talking to him, and I did the same. It actually changed my business, where I used to sell tons of wine, and now I'm doing these craft cocktails, all measured exactly. And the one thing about Lee is, you know, you never taste alcohol in his craft drinks. You cannot taste alcohol, and there's always 1.5-2 ounces of alcohol in every drink. But they are, look, when he was testing the drinks at the restaurant at Pinefish, he tasted the lemon to see how tart it was. So he had to know how much syrup to put in there. So it was, for him, it's so exact. He's a master. He's amazing. That guy is an amazing, amazing talent.
I mean,
And you can enjoy those drinks at Pinefish. We have 3 or 4 on the menu at all times.
Now, are they on your happy hour list as well?
No, they are not on the happy hour list. They are on our regular list.
Okay.
The happy hour, we do, you know, we're serving French, white, rosé, and red, called Cote Basse, which is an excellent wine for happy hour. And we're doing, you know, oysters. So we used to be known pre-pandemic for our happy hour. It hasn't come back totally, but it's starting to come back. And, yeah, you know, so we try to get 3 or 4 different oysters, dollar oysters, dollar clams, $1.50 shrimp. You know, they're fairly large, 16 to a pound, 16 to 20. And then 5 or 6 different little dishes that you can have that are under $10.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, you have fried cauliflower, you have Brussels sprouts, bang bang shrimp, which is always popular with people. Fat fries, which, I mean, come on now. You can't get more delicious than duck fat fries.
I am a duck fat fanatic. I love duck fat. I always have seven to 10 pounds in my freezer at home.
Oh wow!
So I cook with it. Well, if I make the turkey, like I told you the other day, I need 5 pounds of duck fat. So I can buy it wholesale. You buy it at the store, it's very expensive. but delicious.
Exactly. It's absolutely delicious, especially when you add fat into any dish. It gives it so much more flavor. Now, for anybody who is looking to try out the ocean, to have a great date night, or to just hang out with friends and have some cocktails and some great food, where can they find you online and in person?
Well, online, they can find us at pinefish.fish. So that's our website. And in person, I'm there. So I'm there, I'm there every day. I told you, I have nothing else to do. So
I gotta
hang out.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to just plug for a second. I think you said that you were also looking for, staff. So if anybody's out there looking to work in the restaurant business, I believe that Peter is hiring for Pinefish.
We are hiring, and it's been so difficult. So we're closed Monday and Tuesday because we don't have servers. And we don't have a bartender, so we're working on that, and want to get those 2 days back. My dad always said, "Hey, if you're paying rent, you should be open." So I always live by that, and the pandemic has changed. I don't know if it's changed my drive, or it's just changed the way I think, but it's. It's hard for me I say to myself, should I actually be working 7 days a week? I'm doing this pandemic thing, which has changed my whole attitude. So, but anyhow, I'm there every single day.
All right. Well, Peter, I look forward to seeing you at Pinefish, and thank you for joining us on Food Farms and Chefs.
Thank you, Peter.
Peter, it was a great pleasure. We'll be down to talk about sous vide.
Okay, let's do it.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye.
PhillyRestaurantReviews.com for all information about the show. Amorous Pollock.
You can find me online at arpollockus, or you can email me directly if you'd like to be a guest on the show or sponsor at arpollockus@gmail.com.
Chef Gene.
You can find me across social media at IBFoodie2 or at Gene Blum, or you can email me directly with any questions or a Boilo recipe. You can contact me at IBFoodie2@yahoo.com. That's IBFoodie2@yahoo.com. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
And happy Hanukkah.